And we want to rebuke. We want to bind any spirits that would come against your word here today. Yes. Lord, we just bind pride. We bind a religious spirit.
Yes.
We bind any deception, any yes. interruptions. Father, we just ask you to bind every enemy, that your word would come forth in power yes. and revelation. You would receive all honor and glory. May your word be anointed with your power as we read it. May our ears be anointed, our hearts be anointed to own your word in our heart, not only in our mind.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Cecil is going to read Proverbs 7 if you'd like to follow along.
Proverbs chapter 7. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death.
I used to not like this chapter because I thought it was just about some young stupid guy going after a prostitute. You know, what has that got to do with me? So we used to read a proverb every day of the month. You read that proverb. On the first, you read Proverbs 1. The second, you read Proverbs 2, because there's 31 of them. So you become wise if you just own these proverbs, make them part of your life. So every month on the 7th, I'd have to read this proverb and go, I never get anything on the 7th because it's only about lusting young men and prostitutes, you know. It's not about me. But yesterday was the 7th, right? Yesterday, I read it, and God said, go read it, because I quit reading that. And God said, go read Proverbs 7. And I went, Proverbs 7? Oh, no. But I want you to look at something, because there's something for all of us here. We don't have to be young men lusting after prostitutes to get this message. Who's in danger? I want to start with verse 7, and then we're going to go back. Verse 7, I beheld among the simple ones. Let's first start at 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, through my window, and I beheld among the simple ones, and I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding. Who's looking out their window? You know, I think of a watchman, because in the church we have watchmen, and you envision them as on the wall. They're looking. They're watching outside of the ministry. They're watching ahead in the spirit for what the enemy is bringing in. God opens their eyes to see what the enemy is up to, what is coming in. They see it first, and they run back to the leader, and they say, we've seen the enemy's plan. We've seen that he's coming in. We have seen it, and we came to tell you the danger. This is a watchman looking out the window, looking ahead and seeing the danger. And who does he see is in danger? The simple ones, the youth without understanding. Now, I'm not talking about children. I'm talking about baby Christians. You can be 80 and be a youth in Christ. You can be 80 and be simple-minded, not knowing the scriptures, not understanding the scriptures, not having the power of God by knowing his word. Because now we're going to go back to verse 1. God says, my son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with you. How can you keep the word if you don't know the word? See, the more word a baby doesn't know, a baby Christian doesn't know the word. They know enough word to get to Jesus, but they don't know enough word to protect themselves yet from the enemy. They're still simple. They're very simple in their thinking, and they don't have understanding of the more deep spiritual things, the plans of the enemy. Now, there's protection over a newborn Christian. God kind of sends angels out and puts an extra protection over them. But then he expects us to drink in the word and begin to grow, get some understanding, grow up, know the word. So he tells us, keep my words. If you are in the word every day, I'm going to say it again and again because I love it. Wigglesworth gave it to Patty and she gave it to me. Consume the word until the word consumes you. Right. Don't just read. Consume the word. You don't consume it by chewing it and spitting it out. Tempe took all of her little animal cookies from her high chair across the kitchen counter and flung them into the kitchen, and they're all over the kitchen floor. So this is supposed to be punishment. I took her in the kitchen and said, you're going to pick them all up. She loved it. It was a new game, you know. Punishment doesn't work when it's fun. So she starts picking up the cookies and cramming them in her mouth off the floor. My floor's not that clean because I'm not that good of a housekeeper. I said, no, you need to throw them away. So she went over to the garbage can and spit them all into the trash to throw them away. Well, if you just eat the word and spit it out, you did not consume it. You didn't take it deep down inside of you. You didn't digest it. You didn't understand it. You didn't experience it. See, you have to eat the word of God completely. That means you've got to live it. You've got to take it, know it, memorize it in your mind, carry it with you in your mind. But then when you come out into life and you run into things, you have to apply the word so that you can experience it. Because after you've experienced applying it, now you own it. Now you understand how it works. So it's way more than just, you know, take a few bites. Well, I did my duty. I read my psalm. I read my proverb. Shut the Bible now and go do what I want. You're still simple and you don't understand the power of the living word of God.
Amen.
It is your watchman. You have your own watchman. You can carry your own big angel watchman everywhere you go because it's alive. So once you own it, you carry this watchman with you.
Right.
Keep my words with you. Keep them with you. Lay them up with you. Keep my commandments. Obey them. Obey these words. Don't do it your way. Do it his way. Somebody gets in your face and screams at you. Do you scream back? Yeah, I do. That's what the flesh does. That's what our first response is. Fight the devil with the devil. Defend yourself. But the word says a soft answer turns away wrath. See, God comes in the opposite spirit. God comes against anger and softness. And it works. You know why it works? Because they're not just words. They're spirits. Anger is a spirit.
Right.
The soft love of God is a spirit. Spirit to spirit, God always wins.
Right.
Spirit to flesh, you always lose.
Right.
Keep my commandments and live. and my law is the apple of your eye. What is your focus? What is your focus? Pleasing God or getting God to please you? How can I get God to work for me in my life? How can I get him to bless me? How can I get him to do what I need him to do? It's not about that.
No.
You are to obey him and follow him and be a blessing to him.
Amen.
He will bless you and take care of you.
Yep.
Bind them upon your fingers and write them upon the table of your heart. How do you bind them upon your fingers? That one stumped me. How do we bind his word upon our fingers? Anybody know? Let's do a little experiment. Everybody close your eyes. God, I don't understand this. I don't know what that means. You're telling me to do it, but I don't have understanding. If your word is alive, give me understanding. How do I bind your word on my fingers so that I might do it? Please give me that revelation. I'm going to let that sit with you for a few minutes and go to part two. Write them upon the table of your heart. This is more than memorize them in your mind. This is writing them on the table of your heart. Experience writes them in your heart to where you love those words. You live those words. Those words own you. They've consumed you. You live by them. Say unto wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinswoman. Sisters. We watched this old movie where they sing, sisters. What's the next line? They were never such devoted sisters. They never let anything come between them. I don't know about you, but my sister and I let a whole lot come between us. But when he's saying, let wisdom be your sister, he's meaning that sister that lets nothing come between you and her. Devoted sisters who love one another, who share secrets with each other, who walk together, talk together. They sleep in the same room at night. They share the bedroom. They share the comb. They share the clothing. They're intimate. Wisdom should be your intimate sister. And I think he went on and said kinswoman, meaning relative, because, you know, if you're a guy, you need to make wisdom your brother, because you probably don't share as much, you know, with a sister, like sleep together and share combs. That they may keep you from the strange woman, the stranger that flatters with her words. There's a big warning here. Flattery is one of the enemy's favorite weapons against us. How can he flatter you into doing evil? He doesn't do it by walking up enticingly saying, hey, Jim, let's go be evil. No, he does it by saying, what does Jim want? What does Jim like? What does Jim need? Let's just pretend Jim is 20 years old and he's a handsome young guy, and he's full of pride and vanity. And the devil will walk up and go, you are a handsome man, Jim. And Jim goes, yeah. Pride gets him. See, he knows what you need to hear. If you are not impressed with beauty, then he's probably going to say, you're a wise man. And you go, yeah, I don't buy that. You know, tell me I'm good looking. I want to be smart. That's what you want to hear. He's good at that. Why does he put in a female form? We're talking about a young man in this verse. So he's sending a female. Often the flattery comes from the opposite sex because we're so susceptible to the opposite gender. Simple ones. Young people in the Lord, they have no understanding. They have no understanding that filling their pleasure, filling their lust, giving them what they want to hear, making them feel good for a night, they have no understanding that it is the way to hell, that it is the way to their own destruction, that sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. They don't understand that. They don't understand that. Dumb ox to the slaughter. Do you not know you're walking the road to death? Do you not know she's going to lead you right into the what do you call that place where they butcher them? Slaughterhouse. She's going to lead you into the slaughterhouse to cut your head off? You don't understand. How do you lead a cow to the slaughterhouse? You don't look them in the eyes and say, time to cut your head off. Let's go. No, you pet him and you lead him. Cows are stupid. If you're nice, they'll follow you anywhere. Right into the slaughterhouse. I used to read this and say, that's men, all right. Bunch of dumb cows led to the slaughter. Bring a girl into the church. All she's got to do is look cute and smile at them. I need a hero. And those guys melt like butter. They do, don't they, honey? Guys like to be a hero. So the devil comes in female form, all weak and needy. Oh, your muscles are so strong. That doesn't work on a Christian, your muscles are so strong. It has to be, you are so godly, and my husband isn't. Different approach. She knows what you need to hear. She, the devil, is very, very tricky. She knows what you want to hear, and she plays on your needs. Don't be stupid. Don't be a dumb ox. Sorry, kids, I know I'm supposed to say that word. And I try not to say that. If I say dumb, that's okay. But in Mexico, the other word is actually a swear word, so I've tried to eliminate that from my vocabulary. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. See, you don't fall into sin. You walk into it.
Right.
You choose it.
Exactly.
You choose it. If you stay where you belong, you wouldn't fall into those temptations.
That's right.
First you go to the bar and take the drink, and then you wonder why you ended up in bed with a married woman. First you go to the bar and take a drink, and you wonder why you ended up in a fight and in jail. Because first you went to the bar. You ought not to be in the bar.
Right.
In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, that's where Satan loves to attack. In the darkness, in the hidden places. In the, you know, there's verses where God says, you should see the things that they do in privacy. Do you know where the privacy is? It's in your heart, in the blackness of our own heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That place in our heart where we hide sin, he that covers his sin shall not prosper.
Right.
If you have a black place in your heart where you entertain sin, that's the black and dark night for you, where
right.
The enemy knows that he can come and attack you. He knows. You don't hide from God, and you don't hide from Satan very well either, except when you're in the light. See, he's kind of, I can't take the light. He's like, what is that, a vampire? I can't take the light. I can only play in darkness, you know? So the light of God, he can't stand it.
Right.
He can't stand it. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Tricky, crafty. She's not very crafty. She's dressed like a harlot. How crafty is that? You know, we say, well, that's just the way girls dress today. I mean, it's just the way everybody dresses. Not in the eyes of men, young girls, not in the eyes of men. Young men see short mini skirts and low-cut tops, and they take it as an invitation. And the thoughts they think towards you are not, isn't she just so cute? She has such a cute little shape. No, that's not the way lust thinks. They're not looking at you going, I'd like to get to know her.
Oh, no.
No. That is not their thoughts. This harlot, crafty and tricky, but now we see who she truly is, loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. She isn't where she ought to be either. What is she doing out on the streets, dressed like a harlot? Now is she without, now in the streets, and lies wait at every corner. How is she at every corner? Because we're not talking about one woman. We're talking about spirits. They are at every corner. They are everywhere you go. You're making choices everywhere you go to give in to these seducing spirits or to have the Word of God in your heart, consume the Word of God, and live by the Word of God. So she caught him and she kissed him. She kissed him. Because of the way she seduced this man, as we go on, we're going to see that she said, I have decked my bed with beauty and fine linens, and I have perfumed it with these great smells. She meets him by kissing him. You know, we're all hurting. We're all lonely. We all have rejections. We all have abuses. We all have needs to be loved. She knew he needed to be loved. He needed affection. So she met him with a kiss. She met him with a kiss, and that kiss began the process. I want to be loved. Maybe she loves me. And she promised him love. She promised him pleasure. Let us fill ourselves with love. She didn't say, let's go back to my place and have sex. Let's go back to my place and get perverted. She said, let us love till the morning. It isn't love. Because, see, God is love.
Amen.
God is love.
Right.
Any intimacy that is sexual that is not with the one you married is lust.
Right.
And the lying, seductive spirit of lust tells you it's love by flattery. You're good looking. I respect you. I want to love you. I want to make you feel good. I want to meet all your needs. And it feels good. And you think you're in love, and it is lust. It can't be anything but lust. I don't care if you think you're in love with each other and you're going to get married next year.
Nope.
It isn't love because God is not into it.
Right.
And when that happens, you have perverted your ability for true love.
Exactly.
Because now when you get married, all those thoughts that told you they were to make you feel good now begin showing their real ugly face and saying bad thoughts to you about who you are. And they start perverting your thinking. And you don't know how to have pure thoughts in your intimacy anymore. And most of us have lived in that place or do live in that place of not knowing how to have pure thoughts in intimacy because we let them get corrupted before we got married. Young people, don't do it. Don't
Amen.
Do it. It's a precious wedding gift. Do not open it early.
Amen.
Or you corrupt the gift
Amen.
And find an empty box on your wedding day.
Exactly right.
Don't
Amen.
Do it. And if you did it, there is healing. There is healing, but it's a process. There's forgiveness. There's getting thoughts out of you. There is changing thoughts against yourself and others. There is so much that has corrupted your thinking, and God will heal you, but it takes time.
Right.
It's like you got a cancer. And now you have to gradually get well. And it's just, why do that to yourself? You know, the devil is so wicked. He just wants to destroy
Amen.
You and hurt you and corrupt
Amen.
You and defile you.
Exactly.
And when he says he's loving you, he's hating you.
Right.
He's hating you. He hated this young man. But look at right where she kissed him. And with an impudent face said unto him. You see, the devil exposes himself through expressions. And we don't take it serious. We don't take it serious. She is saying to him, look at verse 14, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. She's even pretending to be a religious person who just paid all of her vows to God. But she has an impudent face.
Right.
What is an impudent face? Rebellious. She has a rebellious, proud face. Who just paid their vows before God and walks out of it with an impudent face? Watch the expressions. Watch for expressions. See, the enemy exposes himself. Just watch the expressions and the attitudes. Therefore, I came to meet you and to seek your face, and I have found you. I hope that we don't have to let the devil say those words about us. I came to meet you, to seek you, and I have found you. I don't want him to find me. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, carved works, fine linen, perfumed my bed. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Solace ourselves, delight ourselves. Entertainment, fun, pleasure, self-seeking, just pleasure, fun. This is boring. I want to have fun, all about me having fun. The devil loves to fulfill that need for you.
Yep.
But it cost.
Right.
It cost you. Cost him too. For the goodman is not home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. She's married. And he's still not even taking notice. How many guys and women fall into an affair with a married person and then say, but their husband is mean to them and they're a good person, but he's just mean to them. I need to rescue her from that mean husband. He's not taking any of the warnings. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. You see, the devil, especially with a Christian, he doesn't just walk right up to you and say, hey, I'm your enemy, I'm the devil, and I would like to ruin your life. He's not that stupid. Dumb. He's not that dumb. Some of the devils are really dumb. Really dumb. Those are the little devils. Those are the little devils. And you know who the little devils are? This is going to shock you, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute. The little devils, lust, stealing, murder, hate. They don't sound little, do they? But if a man has the spirit of murder, how many people does he murder before he gets caught? Maybe one, two, three. Maybe he's a serial killer and he got 20, 30, 40. A man has the spirit of lust, how many people does he corrupt? I mean, if he's Don Juan, maybe 100. Most men aren't Don Juan. But there's bigger devils. There's bigger ones. There's principalities and powers. They rule cities. They are called the prince of the air of this world. They make plans. They have strategy. They just don't go around like, oh, I'm going to jump on this person and make them lie. No, they orchestrate the little demons. They orchestrate them. The little demons have to obey the prince of the power of the air. He's the orchestrator. He watches over and he says, we just send a little lying over to him. Just send a little lust over to him. Get him to steal some cookies from the cookie jar. Get some sin here and there. He sends them doing that. But what is his major job? What is his major target? Christ. The Savior.
Amen.
Stop preaching Christ. That's his message. Stop getting people saved out of my realm into God's realm. Spirit of religion.
Yep.
A religious spirit is a principality.
Right.
And it is the main principality in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Right.
And it is the worst monstrous enemy of God because he has strategy. He has plans. And he comes in looking like an angel of light. He's subtle. He's seductive. Or she. They come in and say, do good works. Hand out food. Give clothing. Teach Sunday school. Do anything you want to look holy and good. But don't preach Jesus Christ who died on the cross and shed his holy blood, because people will get saved out of my realm and get born into God's realm. Come against the blood of Christ. Come against the preaching of the cross. Come against true salvation. That's why this religious spirit is our biggest enemy.
Right.
Is God's biggest enemy, because he wipes out whole cities. He wipes out the church. He wipes out people who might find God. He wipes out as much of the world as he possibly can. He is the enemy that stood at the trial of Jesus yelling, crucify him, crucify him. John the Baptist didn't come looking for the political leaders. He spoke against them when they came after him, or when they asked him. He was honest. What do you got to say to me? You're sleeping with your brother's wife. Cut your head off, John. He wasn't afraid to speak to them. But he came preparing the way for Jesus.
Right.
So people would get saved.
Right.
Jesus came, and Jesus said, pay your taxes. Jesus came to a corrupt government, but he did not preach against that government.
Right.
He did not say, the king is evil, follow me. No.
Nope.
He didn't. But he did preach against Pharisees and Sadducees. He did preach against religious leaders. He preached against his major enemy, religion.
Right.
Religion. A false religion that doesn't let anybody get to God. Doesn't let anybody have true relationship with their Father. Does not preach the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the risen one.
Amen.
Who paid for our sin. That's his aim. Shut our mouth up. Go ahead. Dance. Prophesy over each other. Go around and tell each other, oh, you are so important to God. You are so loved. You are so loved. But preach the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Do not leave your first love getting people to Jesus. That's our first love. That's our job. And that's what he wants to destroy. This woman came out of the church. She came out of that religious place. I have paid my vows. I'm from God. And I want to make you feel good. Religion wants to make you feel good about yourself.
Right.
It wants to solace you for the night. You're doing okay. You're working for God. You're giving your money. Just don't go to Jesus. Don't get saved. So in verse 22, he went after her straightway like an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, until a dart strikes through his liver. And as a bird hastes into his own snare and doesn't even know that it's for his life. He doesn't even know. He doesn't even know. Listen to me now, therefore, children. Attend to the words of my mouth. God is saying, don't let this be you. Don't Amen. Be deceived. Don't be deceived.
Amen.
Listen to my words. Know my word. Consume my word till it consumes you. Eat my word. Digest it. Understand it. Live it. Experience. Keep it with you. Does anybody know tying it on your fingers? Anybody get something for that? Bind it upon your fingers, the word of God. Okay. That's good. How you let it live through you. The works of your hands. Anyone else? Teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight with the word of God, using the word of God as our weapon. What? Memory would be the mind. But what do our hands do? What do? They worship, they praise, they feel, and they touch. They touch. Your hands indicate, all those are good, and they indicate what you touch in this life. What do you put your hand to? Is God blessing what you put your hand to? There's the works. Are you touching things you ought not to touch? And that doesn't just mean, I touch this and I touch this. What are you touching is what you bring into your life. Your feet. We brought this up on John 13, the washing of the feet. Some churches, now this is exactly what religion wants to do. Jesus got down and washed his disciples' feet. So some churches want to say, we need to wash each other's feet every Sunday when we come in. Why? Why? There's got to be a reason behind why you're doing it, just because Jesus did it. Know what you do. Understand. Understand the word. Why did he wash their feet? He is the servant, but it's more. It's more than just being a servant, because we were talking about it, and I think Brother Cecil said, if I got down and washed your feet and I'm serving you, next thing I'd be proud of myself for being so humble, you know, or judging those who don't do it. Jesus washed their feet because their feet were dirty from where they were walking. And he said, you don't need to be washed. Your face and your hands and your heart and your body. You don't need a bath. You just need your feet washed. See, if you're walking with Jesus and you've got his word and you're truly living for him, your heart is pure. You are sold out to God and your motives are all for God. You're still going to get your feet dirty. But only your feet. Only your feet. It's not going to pollute your heart. It's not going to pollute your life. It's not going to own you and make you filthy anymore. But we do get our feet dirty. We stepped into an argument. Oh, man, I stepped into where I shouldn't have gone. I stepped and I walked into sin again with my attitude, with my laziness. Our feet keep a short account. And how do we wash one another's feet and do what Jesus said to do? We watch out for each other. We wash each other with prayer. We don't have to literally get down and get a bucket of water. It's about watching out for each other. I see my sister is getting into sin. I go into prayer for her. I begin to wash her with the prayer. Oh, God, she shouldn't go there. It's going to hurt her. Oh, God, please grant her repentance. Get her out of that sin. Get that sin off her feet. Don't let her walk there. Don't let her go there. Please stop her. Do what it takes. If I have to, I go over and tell her, Patty, you ought not to be hanging out at the bar. Don't walk there. I picked on her because I know she don't go to the bar. I was afraid if I went somewhere else, it might be true. So, speaking the truth in love is washing their feet. It's at least offering them the water. It's at least offering the water. You have gotten into sin, brother. You need to be washed. You need to confess it. You need to come out of it. And he's going, no, I'm not. Come on, put your feet in the water. Come on, see it. I don't see it. Well, I'm going home and just pray that you put your feet in the water. I'm going home and pray that you're going to see it. Prayer is the way we wash each other's feet. Confrontation and love washes each other's feet. It's the principles of the word we have to own inside of us. It's the principles. What are your hands touching? Where are your feet walking? Hearken unto me now, children. Attend to my words now. This is a watchman. Listen to me now. I'm looking out. I'm seeing it coming. I've watched out my window. Danger is coming to you. Please hear me. Please do it. You know, some of us are older. Graham Cook, prophet that I really like, and used to be in England, now he's in California. He used to say, I'm a forerunner of a modern day prophet because I go down the roads that nobody is going and I fall in every hole. But then I can tell you where the holes are so you don't fall in. A lot of us have put our feet where they didn't belong. We have touched what we should not have touched. And now we warn you. We already went there. We already paid the consequence. Now we warn you, don't go there.
Right.
Don't go there. My sister died 47 years old because she went there. I outsinned my sister and I'm almost 61 next month. But I repented. So if you've already gone there, repent. Get off that road. Come and get your feet washed. Come and wash your hands. You know, in the Bible, that's interesting. Because the King Pilate said, I don't want to crucify Jesus. What if he is God? I don't want to do it. What if he is God? But the religious ones were saying, crucify him. And he wanted to please the people. He wanted to please the people and not be guilty before God. And that's what a wimpy church does. I want to please all the people, but what if God doesn't like what we're doing here? But I don't want to offend the people. And then you want to go, well, this is what the people wanted. I wash my hands. It's not my fault. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
If you carry the decision, it's your fault. And that's exactly why we have rules of safety set up to protect you, to protect what God is doing here. Some of you get mad because we don't do what you want to do. But we have a leadership team that prays together who has said, I lay my life down. It doesn't matter what I want. God gets whatever he wants. And those are the only kind of people that get on that prayer team. Because we want to know what God wants, not what 10 different opinions want. But if they'll lay their life down and give God what he wants, and they go out and pray and they come back and they say, we're all in agreement. Now we know what God wants because we're all in agreement after doing that. And then we give God what he wants. And then we have people out here that don't like it. I'm sorry, but that's the way this place runs. So we're not going to build a library and start a bus route. And you know, we're only going to do what God is telling us to do.
Right.
Someday he might say, build a library. I have the library cards. They're ready. We might do that, but he hasn't said it yet. We'll do it when he says it. Let not your heart decline to her ways. It is a downward path. It is a downward path to be seduced by evil. For she has cast down many wounded. She has cast down many wounded. We're a bunch of wounded people. That makes us kind of simple. That makes us kind of weak. That kind of makes us a target because we're pretty wounded. And strong men have been slain by her. The simple ones, those without understanding, the youth, the wounded, even the strong men are slain by her. She's pretty good at what she does, this deceptive spirit. She's pretty good at what she does. But her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. We have been warned, and we've been told how not to go there. We've been told how not to go down that path. Consume his word till it consumes
Amen.
You. Lately, you notice it's almost every message ends up word, 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 word. Everywhere we start, we end up right back with, get the word. God is warning us. You are easy prey if you do not have the right weapon inside of you.
Right.
Get the word. Get it. Understand it. Own it. Own it. Live it. Live it. We are growing. We are really growing here. And as we grow, we're going to come up against new devils. New levels, new devils. You know what? We've been fighting with the little guys. Fighting with addictions. That seems pretty big. We've been fighting with anger. That seems pretty big. We've been fighting with them. But those are the little guys. But now, because this ministry is going to increase with the presence of God. Because God has taken note of what we're going to let him do here, and he's coming to do it. And the enemy knows that too. Who is our biggest enemy? In Grand Rapids, it's the spirit of religion.
Right.
So I am putting this out to you. When the spirit of religion attacks, it was not the government that killed Jesus. They did it. But they did it to the demand of the religious.
Right.
So the government is not going to like what we're doing at all. Roxanne had a dream. People with flashlights looking in the windows, staking us out, trying to take the door down and get inside. And it was the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation. There's the government that will try to get inside of what God's doing and control it. They're going to try to break in. They are going to give us trouble. But it's the religious spirit.
Right.
It's the religious spirit that has stopped preaching the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Stopped bringing people to salvation. And they want to shut us up.
Right.
So, are you going to stand when the churches come against us?
Yes.
Are you going to stand when your religious friends and neighbors criticize you for that stand? Or are you going to stand? See, God's calling together his army. It's time for God's people to make a choice.
Amen.
And the word says there were many in the valley of decision in that day. In the valley of decision, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. America has been nothing but a giant amusement park, which the devil loves. We're raising kids that go, I need a new video game because the one you bought me last year is obsolete. My friend's does more than mine. It's more realistic. We have 8-year-olds playing video games where they murder people, hit people on purpose. I heard that they had one where they pick up prostitutes, and if they kill her, they get extra points. That's what our children are playing with. The devil loves this America playground where all we want is do what you want as long as I get my big house and I have a car and I have a big screen TV and I have my video game and I'm enjoying my life. So I don't really care what's going on out there. You better start to care. Because one world government is here. One world government is here, and one world government does not base itself on America's standards and values. One world government doesn't recognize our Constitution.
Right.
Our Constitution is going to have to begin to change to agree with that government. And it is Antichrist.
Right.
So America is going to start taking away these religious freedoms that we have enjoyed. And some people are just going to be enjoying their pleasurable life until the day that they're led to the slaughterhouse and have their head cut off. Some of God's people are going to get their head cut off, but then they're going to get to go to heaven. I mean, you don't get your head cut off and go to hell, get your head cut off and go to heaven. It's time to grow up.
Amen.
It's time for God's people to stand up.
Amen.
It's time we realize who the enemy is.
That's right.
And watch those expressions on his face. Watch. Because we do not fight Legion. Legion was one man full of little devils. We fight Beelzebub.
Right.
Prince of the power of the air.
Yeah.
That's who we fight.
That's right.
And we know who we fight.
Yeah.
And we know how.
Yes, we do.
Through the Holy Spirit of God. Through the Word of God. Through the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through the blood. Through the
Amen.
Blood, through the blood, through
Amen.
The blood. The devil hates the blood, he hates the blood, he hates the blood. So we have to say nothing but the blood. Who can lead us in nothing but the blood?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Stand up for the blood.
No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of
Today and say, God,
amen.
I'm done playing games. You got me. Train me. Make me ready.
Amen.
Put on some music, whatever. People, if you need to come up, surrender your life to Him today. The altar's open.
You said if we would return to You. You said if we would turn from our wicked ways. You said if we would humble ourselves and pray. You said if we would come with weeping, you said if we would come and rend our hearts, you said if we would come and let You hear our voice, let You see our face, that You would come. Rip it open. Oh. that I've been holding on to. When you are forgotten, I take my heart and willingly I rip it open, for I only want to cling to you. I don't want to cling to another. I've been chasing all those other loves and I've forgotten you. Now I take my heart and I humble myself in your sight, and I confess, I confess, and I confess, I need you. As love.